You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's been so great hosting with you all week, Frank.
I'm Frank Isola, just happy to block Pablo. Gotta get
all
him
right,
out.
None of that around the horn block talk. None
gotta
of that
get him out.
Here.
Gotta you keep know? Him as far away from you as humanly possible.
I haven't seen Pablo in like 2 years in person.
I saw him a week ago. I refused to speak to him.
Yo,
we have a rift.
Can't.
He's a good guy. Good
Welcome man. To PTI. Tony missed every other show this week, so why not throw in Friday? Here to pick up his slack is our great friend, Mr. Frank Isola.
There we go.
Man, it's a raucous Friday
Final.
Crowd. Let's start with the Angels reportedly being open to offers for Shohei Ohtani. John Paul Morosi of MLB Network says sources tell him the Angels will consider incoming trade inquiries and are not ruling out the possibility of a deadline deal, though many in the industry still view a trade as unlikely. Frank, in your mind, does this report increase the likelihood the Angels will deal Shohei?
I mean, Mike, you tell me. If you're the Angels, you compete in the American League, but you also compete against the Dodgers. It's July. You're going to give up on a talent like this by August 1st just because you're worried that you can't re-sign him? It's too important. Now, they have a lot of ground to make up. They're not going to win the division. They're 7 back. They're 5 back in the wild card. There's a lot of teams have to leapfrog. It's going to be very difficult. But I'm holding on to Shohei Ohtani. I still have to be confident that I can re-sign him. And let's remember, it's Artie Moreno. He signed Albert Pujols how many years ago? He went out and got Shohei Ohtani. He knows what it means to be in that city with the Dodgers. I get it. They're going to get a lot for him. I don't think they're doing it. I don't believe it.
Frank, I don't either. And part of me keeps thinking, I'm going back to previous conversations now, including one we had just a little bit yesterday and full-blown previously. If this guy is the greatest hitter-pitcher combination, even greater than George Herman Ruth, then you don't trade him, even though the Red Sox were once stupid enough to trade George Herman Ruth. But you now have a comp. If the only comp's name is Babe, don't trade him. If he wants to walk, that's on him. The other thing is, having said that, Frank, if I'm Shohei, I think about walking. And you bring up the name that would lead me to think about walking after the season. Albert Pujols. Yeah. If Albert Pujols stays in St. Louis, in my mind, he turns out to be the greatest hitter ever, maybe including Ted Williams, although not the average, but everything else he would be, and Willie Mays. He would have been. He'd have been Ruth. He'd have hit 780 home runs if he stays in St. Louis. So this is a similar situation because staying in Anaheim, I don't know, man. They just seem to be either short-sighted, incapable, not quite competent. You have Mike Trout all these years. You can't capitalize on having Trout and Shohei. So if I'm him, I seriously think about walking, and I'm honest. I tell the Angels that. But if I'm the Angels, man, trading him, I keep hearing he's the best player ever in the game. So why would you trade him? How are you going to get better without him?
Well, let me ask you this. How many real suitors could be out there? We know the Yankees would be interested. The Angels are going to trade with the Yankees. The Dodgers certainly interested. The Angels are going to trade
with
the Dodgers. Maybe the Mariners. But what about a team like the Reds or maybe Baltimore? Now,
no.
It could be a rental, but maybe they're thinking, what if Baltimore thought, you know what? He'll come to the East Coast. He'll like it here. We haven't won in forever. Let's make a run at it.
I wouldn't do it. I think it's West Coast for him, and he's got enough options, Frank.
Yeah.
We just saw what happened in Seattle. And I wouldn't want to deal with the Dodgers considering they're 65 miles north. I wouldn't, but
no.
I don't know.
I still think Artie Moreno believes he could re-sign him. All right, let's go from MLB trade talks to NBA trade talks. James Harden has asked the Sixers to deal him away. And despite efforts from the organization, including Joel Embiid, to change his mind, Sam Amick of The Athletic reports that Harden is still determined to start next season in a Clippers jersey. Mike, if James Harden wants to win his first title, are the Clippers a better option than the Philadelphia 76ers?
No, because the Clippers don't have a player as good as Joel Embiid.
Ooh.
Look, here's the problem. Look, I'm a Kawhi guy, all right? There were years there where I thought Kawhi was, if not LeBron's equal, and he won two championships, then just below LeBron. If we were talking two-way players, better than Paul George, yes, ever. Just LeBron was the only person. Kevin Durant, oh, all right. But we're talking about in present time, he was on the best players of the day. One of the three best players of the day. But with that knee, with those leg injuries, Frank, I don't believe that anymore. See, I don't believe that Kawhi is some slacker, that he just wants these planned vacations. I don't believe that. He was dragging that leg when he was with Toronto and he won anyway. And he wants to play and he tries to play and he can't play. Not in the way that you're going to need him to play to stalk a championship. So, no. Embiid, and I realize he's had some peripheral injury situations, but not like Kawhi. I'm staying with him. I think Philly has a better chance, particularly in the Eastern Conference, Frank, where I don't trust Milwaukee anymore. I don't trust the Porzingis. No, they've had 2 years. They failed to get it done. Boston's had 5 years with these guys together. Porzingis now introduced, failed to get it done. The East is gettable. The West, for them, is not.
All right, so you're right about Joel Embiid in terms of talent. He was the MVP. But let's look at his playoff resume. Has yet to go to a conference finals.
Yeah.
And with a chance to beat Boston in that game six and the last 4 minutes of that game when Jason Tatum scored 12, Joel Embiid had zero. Then in the game seven, Jason Tatum had 51, Joel Embiid had 15. So in the last game plus 4 minutes, he was outscored by Jason Tatum 63-15. And you completely all right, I get it. Kawhi Leonard has injury issues. Here he is in with the Clippers. 57 games, 52. A couple years ago, missed the whole season. This year, 52. But in game one against Phoenix, this is what he's capable of on the road. You may have been at that game. 38 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists.
I know,
He could dominate a game.
But he's not out there. You can't dominate from the bench. You can't dominate from the infirmary.
Understand. But your guy's playing and not dominating. My guy, when he plays, can dominate. He's been a two-time finals MVP. I'll say this.
Yes.
If you can somehow get him healthy, start of the playoffs, same thing with LeBron James.
Yeah.
And James Harden is there with Paul George. That's pretty compelling.
You also didn't address the fact that James Harden has come up so empty in the playoffs, including those games with Philadelphia you mentioned.
Hang on a
where
second.
When they called a timeout, that the Philadelphia 76ers called a timeout because people in their traveling party were certain he quit on the team.
Mike, they played a game without Joel Embiid, and it was Harden. What do you have, 42 or 45 points?
Harden was either great or didn't show.
Embiid was nowhere to be found in game seven.
You know what?
Nowhere.
He was on the court. Where were Paul George
that's
and Kawhi?
That's the issue. He was
How
on the court.
Often
he wasn't
are they not
enough.
There?
That's fair.
It's a tough one. Let's move to Wimbledon. And Novak Djokovic and Carlos Alcaraz advancing to the men's final. Can't wait. Djokovic beat Jakob Sinner while Alcaraz rolled over Daniil Medvedev, both in straight sets. Easy for me to say. Djokovic beat Alcaraz in a highly anticipated but ultimately anticlimactic French Open semifinal a month ago. Frank, do you give Djokovic any kind of edge given all of this at Wimbledon as well?
You know what? I'm going to give him a little bit of an edge just because of the experience that he has. He's played in 23 majors. They've never played on grass. Djokovic, that's a terrific surface for him, and I think Alcaraz is an all-around player. He could win on any surface. You mentioned the French Open. That match was tied, one set apiece, and then Alcaraz started cramping up, which was an issue. If I'm Djokovic, though, you got to look at it this way. You came through with flying colors during the Roger Federer, Rafael Nadal era. Start winning these majors now because pretty soon this kid, he's only 20 years old. It's the best rivalry right now in tennis, and it's only going to be the third time that they've ever met. How about this, though, about Djokovic? He has won 11 of the last 18 majors, and three of those, two were vaccination status, so he couldn't play, and the other one was the U.S. Open, like a knucklehead when he hit the lines person with the ball out of frustration. He got disqualified from that. So if you're being fair, he probably would have won One of those three. He already has at 23 least, majors. That would have been number 24 for him.
Frank, if he's the GOAT,
he is,
and it looks like he may be, he really wants and gets this Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Because of just what you said, and I start thinking about going back in history a little bit, even though their ages were closer together, I start thinking about Borg when McEnroe was coming for him. You know what I mean? And yes, Borg won the first time, and I think these were both at Wimbledon, and then McEnroe won the next time, and McEnroe sort of said, no, 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 enough of Borg. And Borg seemed disinterested by that point or was on the verge of disinterest. And you look historically at rivalries in tennis and see if there are comps. And I think of that one, even though maybe it's just too different because they were probably only about 4 years apart in age. But I just think Joker is still the best player. I watched Joker this morning.
Incredible.
He's got everything. He's got it all. And he doesn't have Federer and Nadal, yeah, his equals, his peers, dogging him. He has got to be thinking, let me take Junior out one more time at least, because I agree with you. Alcaraz and others will be coming to get Djokovic, but I don't think Sunday. I think he does have an edge, and I think he'll put it to good use.
Alcaraz, he better break Djokovic's serve. How about at the majors? He has won 15 straight tiebreakers at a major, which is incredible.
Yeah, you don't want to get into that.
I was always a Federer guy because I complain I'm not a great sportsman, and Federer, yeah, I was kind of jealous how great of a sportsman he was. But even I have to acknowledge, Djokovic, and the bait went on for a long time, he has surpassed both Roger Federer
and Nadal. I'm a Nadal guy, but I, you know, Joker might look, he's looking like
too many.
He's in that.
If you base it on majors, he's already passed them.
Let's take a break. We're coming up. Could Gabby Douglas, is a name we haven't heard in a while, make the 2024 Olympic gymnastics team?
And here's a name we've heard. And what does it tell us that Lionel Messi went grocery shopping without incident in South Florida yesterday? Michael Wilbon doesn't even go grocery shopping.
I'm going to tell you what it meant, because I had this fight with my son already. Don't tell me Messi's Jordan. Don't tell me that.
I agree with your son. Your son
knows
more than you do.
You're both wrong.
We're part of the younger generation.
You need to watch.
Pardon the interruption is presented by Corona. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour and in part by Burger King.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by Corona, part of Happy Hour.
It's mail time, and because Frank is closest to the mailbox, he gets to do the heavy lifting. Frank, what's first?
All right, let's see what we got.
Mail time!
All right. Are you surprised Lionel Messi went grocery shopping without incident at a Miami area Publix yesterday?
Not at all. This is sort of predicted by me. Because Lionel Messi, who I'm pretty sure I would recognize in a Publix or anywhere else, he's like 5'8", 5'9".
Yep.
He looks like a million other people. You know, you certainly are not looking at him being head and shoulders above people. I got into this fight with my son about, is he as recognizable worldwide as LeBron? No! He's not, because LeBron can't walk around the Publix anywhere. Not in Miami, not in Paris, not in Istanbul, and not get mobbed. Don't be stupid, people. You want to make your case about the popularity of soccer. It's the most popular sport in the world. But don't tell me Lionel Messi is as recognizable or even more popular than LeBron. That's folly.
All right. So while we were in Miami for game three, that's when the news came down that Inter Miami was going to sign Lionel Messi. The buzz in that city, you could feel it. People were showing up at the games, the Miami Heat, Denver Nugget games, in the Inter Miami jerseys with Messi's name on the back.
Doesn't mean they recognize him.
There's a ton of people. And say, he's walking around a pub. LeBron James.
Then why didn't they? Then why didn't they mob him in Miami?
You have your head down when you're shopping. You don't go grocery shopping, so you don't even know how it
works. Would you miss LeBron James or Michael Jordan in the damn Publix?
Well, all right.
No,
Michael Jordan is 6'6".
No, you wouldn't. So he's not as recognizable. It's one of the many reasons that Messi is not as recognizable as LeBron or Michael Jordan or any international basketball superstar. I've been with those guys in Europe, Frank. I've walked in places with Barkley and Magic, and I know what happened. I ran out the back door because they were mobbed in Barcelona. Don't go there with me on this.
By the way, Lionel Messi did a little grocery shopping in Barcelona. Sergio Busquets, his teammate from Barcelona, Jordi Alba, both coming to Inter Miami. Sergio Busquets, a dead ringer for our guy Tony Reale, by the way. Next time you see him, go Google it. When you're not grocery shopping.
Neymar didn't even get recognized in the arena that night. He didn't get recognized. Neymar.
What do you think about Gabby Douglas's attempt to make the 2024 U.S. Olympic gymnastics team? Wow.
Frank, I think this is kind of cool when I first heard it. I mean, I don't know, like, what kind of competitive shape Gabby Douglas is in or how quickly she can get there. And that's what we're talking about anytime athletes come out of retirement, no matter how great they are. But it's been a while. I mean, she won in 2012. That was probably her biggest year.
Yep.
She won team in 2016, but then didn't compete in the Olympics in 2020. And I sort of went through this really observing closely my friend now, Dominique Dawes, when she did this and won, you know, team, and I think it was Sydney in 2000 after she had been away a little bit and she wanted to come back and she still had it to a great, great degree. And I'm interested to pick up the phone later and talk to Dominique about this because she's been through it. Good for her. I hope she comes back. I hope she wins. I think it's a great story, but it's going to be hard.
Yeah. Gabby Douglas is 27, so unfortunately in gymnastics, that's not...
Dominique was 23.
That's not the prime age to be competing. So
no,
it'll be a great
not.
Story. And when you mention story, what is the Olympics all about? NBC would love nothing more than Gabby Douglas to be there because then you would have the 2012 all-around champion, Simone Biles, perhaps the 2016 all-around champion,
and the
reigning all-around champion, Suni Lee. All Americans.
Yes.
And
yes.
We know when it gets to the Olympics, one of the biggest events is the women's gymnastics. And they love to create storylines. It would
great
be great point. If she could make it. I give her a lot of credit for trying to do it. It's not going to be easy, though. At 27 years old.
You know, here we are making the case that she's old and washed up at 27. But it is so different for gymnastics where you often see people, you know, at 16 and 17, 18 dominating the competition.
But to be fair, when you hit 30 in tennis, a lot of
you're
people
done now.
Felt that
look,
was old.
Except not
Joker anymore.
And Federer and Nadal.
Venus, Serena.
Thank you for your emails. Let's take one last break. But still to come, Cam Whitmore fell in the NBA draft. Did the Rockets get a steal?
And are the Bucks trying to lure Tom Brady back to the team? He's
Tom Brady, who nobody knows outside the United States, more recognizable in Miami than your boy.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Natick reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Corona. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Time to get happy, people. Happy 33rd birthday, Damian Lillard. We all know the gift he'd like to get today. Trade to the Miami Heat. And Aaron Fentress at the Oregonian reports that it's, quote, pretty close. I'm told right now Miami has three firsts, Tyler Hero, salary filler, and maybe a young player already. The question is finding that fourth first-round draft pick, close quote. Lillard would be bringing a resume that includes seven All-Star games and a career scoring average of 25 per game frame.
At that age, Mike, 33, you're going to give up four first-round picks, 33, and that contract?
Man, that's a lot.
I think that's what the big holdup is right now.
A whole lot,
yeah. It's giving up a ton.
Happy anniversary, Steve Nash. On this day 19 years ago, you returned to the Phoenix Suns, the team that drafted you after six seasons with the Mavericks. Nash joined Amari Stoudemire, Joe Johnson, Sean Marion, and Quentin Richardson, along with head coach Mike D'Antoni, on a team that helped push the NBA to the fast-paced, long-range game we have now. In that first season, Nash averaged 15.5 points and 11.5 assists per game while shooting 43% from three, edging out Shaquille O'Neal, don't remind him, for the first of two straight MVP awards for Nash. But Steve never made it to the finals as a player, frequently blocked by the Lakers, and more frequently,
seven
Spurs.
Seconds or less. Remember Jack seven McCallum's great less. Book? How about the fact yes. that Dallas could have had Steve Nash, they let him
with
walk.
With Dirk Longer.
They could have had Rick Brunson, they let him walk. They repeated the same mistake twice over a 19-year period.
Steve Nash, one of my favorite players.
Jalen Brunson.
Certainly 20 favorite players of
Jaylen
all
Brunson.
Time, of all time. Happy trails to Northwestern University baseball coach Jim Foster. The university fired Foster Thursday following allegations of bullying. The school's HR department had investigated Foster prior to this past season, but the decision to terminate him came in the wake of the firing of head football coach Pat Fitzgerald after his program was investigated for hazing. Foster came to Northwestern just last year from Army, where he had won four consecutive Patriot League titles, but the team finished 10-40 in his one season in Evanston and the Big Ten.
What a week in Evanston. He's going to be replaced, at least on an interim basis, by assistant coach and former Chicago White Sox outfielder Brian Anderson. He'll be the interim coach for a while.
Okay. Just left campus, Frank. It's not a fun place to be. No. You've been there many times. Tough week. We're running out of show. Let's go to the big finish. Rockets rookie Cam Whitmore scored 26 points and 8 steals in a summer league win last night. You impressed by that?
I don't understand this one. He was projected to be a top 10 pick. He went to Villanova. Villanova produces a lot of good NBA players.
They do.
And
they
he somehow
do.
Fell all the way to 20th, and he's been lights out yeah. out in Vegas.
Jalen
I don't get
Brunson,
it.
Probably.
Your Chicago Bulls got a $10.2 million injury exception for Lonzo Ball. Is that significant?
It helps. But is there anybody left that can come in and do what Lonzo Ball did for the Bulls, you know, for half a season at $10 million right now?
Two full seasons he's going to miss. What a shame.
Bucks defensive back Antoine Winfield Jr. told Richard Sherman he's sure his team is still trying to lure back Tom Brady. Are you sure, Frank?
Yes. I think a lot of teams are going to try to lure back Tom Brady. Because what always happens in training camp, first couple of weeks of the regular season, somebody's going to get hurt. And the first name we're going to hear is going to be Tom Brady.
You can hear it all you want. He's done. Listen
we'll
up,
see.
People.
Dwayne Wade is joining the ownership group of the Chicago Sky. Is that a big deal?
Yes. Yes, they're one season removed from a championship. Dwayne Wade is on the Mount Rushmore of basketball in Illinois. Okay? Isaiah Thomas, Dwayne Wade, George Mikan, who's fourth? Derrick Rose, Mike Krzyzewski. Big deal. Yes. Last one. WNBA All-Star Weekend. What are you looking forward to?
Of course, when you first think about Chicago basketball, everybody thinks about Michael Jordan, a New Yorker. It's going to be Breonna Stewart's team against Asia Wilson. It's in Las Vegas. This is Las Vegas' year.
Big deal.
They got
Can't
the best team. They got the All-Star game there. Watch out for Asia Wilson. We're out of time. We'll try to do better the next time. I'm Frank Isola.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Enjoy your weekend, knuckleheads. Jordan, not from here, but he's ours. We're sports.
PTI.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.